Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
if you believe in forever,
then life is just a one-night stand.
If there's a rock and roll heaven,
well, you know, they just got a new piano player.
Patrick.
Jim.
It's a new week.
Yeah, it is.
And are you recovered yet from the big live show we did?
Yeah, I'm pretty much recovered. I had to take a few days off and just kind of lay in bed with the windows closed and sleep. But yeah, it was worth it.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great.
If you missed it, go back to the Rock in the Suburbs archives and check out the live shows last week. It was really a good time.
It really was. Yeah, thank you, Black Walnut Brewery and Lisa Saeed.
Yes.
She's cool, man.
So as I mentioned, this is Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And now we have to change the tone a little bit here. We have some sad news. It's actually, this is the first chance we've been able to get to this, but it actually happened a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Another big rock royalty death. Fats Domino, right?
Fats Domino passed on, Jim. Antoine Dominique Domino. He was 89 years old, though. So, you know, Fats had a great run. He lived a full life and spent his last years in New Orleans, by all reports, very happy, content, kind of living by himself, playing his piano and, you know, seeing friends. So sad in one way, but also, you know, a good time to pay tribute to somebody who's probably not given the credit they're due, I think, right? Historically, do you feel like, or?
I don't feel like it, because even I sort of left him off of, you know, what I would consider to be the essential, you know, rockers of the early days. You know, to me, it was always, you know, Elvis, Jerry Lee, Little Richard, Chuck Berry, Buddy Holly, I guess Bo Diddley,
right,
I put in there, you know, and I didn't think much of Fats Domino, and I'll tell you why, and then I want you to tell me these statistics to tell me how wrong I am. Part of it was because, see, I grew up in a house where my parents did listen to a lot of, like, oldies, like the oldies radio station would be something they would listen to, but oldies radio in the, like, 70s and 80s was it was fairly mellow. It wasn't really edgy at all. I mean, you'd hear a couple of Elvis Presley songs, but they'd be like Teddy Bear and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't hear a lot of necessarily like Jerry Lee Lewis or Little Richard. It wasn't that kind of thing. It was like Happy Days oldies. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
And you would hear Fats Domino because Fats Domino was, you know, not a particularly like edgy singer. Very, you know, kind of silky smooth and would had a very pleasant you know, delivery. I'm not saying I fully appreciate what he was actually doing at the time, but I'm just saying that he fit into that, what at the time I would say was my parents' music.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I didn't think much of it. And, you know, songs like Blueberry Hill, I mean, it's a great song, but it doesn't really offer you that much when you're a young kid and you want, you know, hard rock.
No, that's exactly right.
And so he seemed a bit like a relic to me. And
when
I later discovered, you know, 50s music and discovered like the Sun Studios stuff with Elvis and the early Jerry Lee and, you know, those things and Johnny Cash. Again, it's like, where does Fats Domino fit into this exactly? But going back now, since this death, I, you know, am playing some of this stuff and sort of rediscovering that there was a lot more to Fats Domino's work than maybe what, you know, initially met the ear.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think he did feel to us kind of like a relic from another time, or a, you know, a personality at least from another time. And you're right, his vocal style was always really laid back. You know, he wasn't like a shouter. He played this boogie-woogie piano that was really kind of mellow. He had that New Orleans Creole, you know, kind of background. He was a self-taught player. He wasn't, you know, like a classical guy. And he kind of came from a weird place between jazz and, you know, New Orleans music. And he was doing it in the late 40s, like 1949, I think, was his first single.
Crazy.
Yeah. So when rock and roll kind of broke out, you know, in the early 50s, mid-50s, he just changed the label on his music to rock and roll. But he'd already been doing that for...
Kind of. Yeah. Pretty much. He made the transition, which was pretty rare. So first, tell me these stats that you have here about how popular he was.
So between 1950, essentially, and the early 1960s, 62, you know, kind of the Beatles era, he sold 65 million singles. The country was a lot smaller at that time. Right. The world was, and he still sold 65 million singles. That's amazing.
And had how many hit songs?
37 top 40 hits.
That's crazy.
That's unbelievable. I mean, in like a 13-year period. So you're talking about 4 a year or something like that, you know?
And you have to remember, too, that, you know, until the late 50s, it was rare at all to have an African-American artist even on, you know, the mainstream hit charts, the Hot 100, whatever it is. They had their own chart.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way
society
was back then. They had their own radio stations and their own charts. Yeah. And it wasn't until the rock and roll era that you had those crossovers. So these are all, you know, what you then would consider crossover hits. That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's
and it's interesting with Fats Domino. I think some white artists covered his songs, like, you know, happened a lot, right?
Right.
In the 50s with black
artists. I'm sure Pat Boone did.
Yeah, exactly, you know. But not as much as some others, because he had a very inimitable style with this laid-back singing and this piano that kind of fit just a little bit
that's
offbeat.
Right.
Yeah, so what are Fats Domino's songs that you admire? I mean, you know, we were texting and talking. There's a lot of Fats Domino songs to choose from. You know, and he kind of works a few certain styles, right? But within that, he was pretty distinctive.
So, you know, people know Blueberry Hill.
Yeah.
And I'm Walking, which is actually a really good song. That's
a great song.
That's in the rock era.
Yep.
A song that's sort of pre-rock and roll, right on the edge there, but I know from covers, from some famous covers, is Ain't That a Shame.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Which is really a great tune, but, you know, of course I know it starting with Cheap Trick.
Yeah.
But I always knew it was a cover. It's not like I ever thought it was
no,
Cheap Trick's song.
That
I
was
knew
one
that.
Of their songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, of course they do a really great rock version of it. So that right there should give him some props.
Yeah.
You know, Fats, also to kind of to sort of show how he how admired he was, the Beatles were influenced by Fats Domino, and one of their songs, Lady Madonna, is essentially a tribute to Fats Domino.
It really
right?
is. Yeah, pretty much taken wholesale from one of his piano riffs.
That's right.
Yeah.
He later covered a couple of their songs, mm-hmm. including Everybody's Got Something to Hide Except for Me and My Monkey. Listen to me now. Your inside is out, and your outside is in. Your inside is in, and your outside is out. So come on.
Yeah, like Fats Domino style cover of that song.
He did something else too. He did, I think, Lovely Rita.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, something offbeat.
And something else. He's done at least a handful of Beatles songs. So
yeah.
I think a lot of the 60s guys admired Fats Domino.
Yeah, and I read somewhere in preparation for this, Jim, that the first song that Paul McCartney and John Lennon played together was Ain't That a Shame.
That's right.
Yeah.
Isn't that? Yes. So
bizarre.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so one thing that really fascinates me, you touched on this already, is the pre-rock and roll artists who were kind of sort of doing it already, but it just wasn't called that. And, you know, you can sort of see that they're getting close, but they're not quite there. And very few of those guys, you know, doing like jump blues or in this case, boogie woogie or, you know, honky tonk, whatever they were doing back then, very few of them made that transition
right
over. Fats Domino did, and a lot of the early rockers that we mentioned before, they pretty much like rose up from, you know, 1955, 56 and became stars. There weren't that many guys who kind of were able to make that transition. I just want to play a couple of clips here to sort of show how he's kind of doing the same thing, but there's a little bit of a difference here too.
Okay.
So first let's play, you know, he's famous for Boogie Woogie, yeah. New Orleans, you know, those triplets and that constant movement of the left hand.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and in this case, 1950, you know, if you were a kid, 1950, this must have sounded pretty cool.
Pretty I mean, radical.
This was
yeah.
pretty rock and roll, even though it wasn't quite yet. But you'll see what I'm talking about. I know she's mine, cause she's just for flirt. She's my boogie woogie baby. She's
my boogie woogie baby. Boogie woogie baby, boogie all the time. Yeah, she's kind of tall with a fine face. That pretty skirt fit her tight to her waist. She's my boogie woogie baby. She's my boogie woogie baby. She's my boogie woogie baby, boogie all the time.
Okay, you get a sense there of his piano playing.
Totally, yeah.
Those, you know, sort of jazz horns behind there.
A little bit.
But the beat is very swing, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's not really blues. It's not really jazz. Right. It's not really, you know, a combination. It's something else.
And, yeah, and it sort of has the 1-4-5 yeah. of blues, mm-hmm. right? But it's you're right.
Yeah,
it's not blues in the sense of, like, you know, John Lee Hooker or something
no,
like that.
No, or
like,
Muddy Waters or anything.
Because it's upbeat. Yeah, yeah. It's supposed to be happy music. And that was sort of
it's
boogie
very
woogie.
Urgent. Right. Yeah.
And you can imagine Boogie Woogie, I think, you know, was sort of a, you know, kind of roadhouse music and, you know, in New Orleans bars. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you imagine guys playing the piano would have to play it really loud, yeah. you know, have to really pound on it, right? So that's where it has that sort of urgency to it. Yeah. And the other thing I'll say here, you know, when after Fats Domino died, I just saw a little piece about him on CBS. They showed a clip of him playing Ain't That a Shame, which again, you know, I very much equate with rock and roll, even though that was a 1955 release, I believe. It's set up like a jazz band. Like it's like he's on the side of the stage playing a piano, singing in the microphone. Most of the stage is taken up by horn players with those, you know, I forget what you even call those little stands that are in front of them, right? That sort of, you know, shield their legs, you know, that have like FD, you know, in script or something on the front. So he's like playing the band leader role in that sort of classic sense, because again, rock and roll hadn't sort of reinvented what that kind of performance should be like.
Yeah,
you know?
Almost like a Duke Ellington kind of
setup. That's right. That's right. That's right. So contrast what we just heard with this song from 1959.
Well, I'm ready, I'm willing, and I'm able to rock and roll all night. I'm ready, I'm willing, and I'm able to rock and roll all night. Come on, pretty baby, we're gonna rock, we're gonna roll till the broad daylight, because I'm ready, and I'm able, I'm willing and I'm able, so you better come and go with me. Rock and roll, tell them more about free. Talking on the phone is not my speed. Don't send me no letter cause I can't read. Don't be long cause I be gone. We gonna rock and roll long night long. Cause I'm ready, I'm willing, and I'm able to rock and roll all night. I'm ready.
Okay, so there you go. You got that 4-on-the-floor drum beat.
Yep.
Those hand claps.
Yeah.
You know, put that in, make it a little more of a pop song.
Yeah.
And, you know, he mentions rock and roll right there. So
right. Cuts anything Bill Haley did. That's for damn sure.
It still has that same kind of boogie woogie piano to it, but this is more of a rock sound.
Yep.
All right. So what do you got? Should we, let's take our little break.
Yeah. Let's take a short break and I'll talk a little bit about how I got into Fats Domino.
Okay, Patrick. So for anyone who likes, rock and roll all the way from the 50s until today.
Yeah.
From the 50s to today. What they should do is subscribe to
Rock in the Suburbs.
Do that. You just go to iTunes, Apple Podcasts. You do it on your desktop or your phone. Phone's probably even easier.
Yeah.
You find our show and then you hit subscribe. That's it. And then after that, the episodes just come right to your phone.
What I love about Rock in the Suburbs, Jim, it's platform agnostic. It can work on any phone or any desktop. You just hit subscribe. And you're in, man. And once you're in, you know, it's like you're a member of a pretty exclusive club. The benefits are pretty much unmatched.
Unmatched. Yeah, because you get to hear this. So please go to Rock in the Suburbs and subscribe to the show.
Do it.
All right, so tell us your Fats Domino story.
Yeah, let me tell you a little bit about how I got into Fats Domino. You know, my experience with Fats Domino, or kind of knowledge of Fats Domino, was more or less like, you know, Richie Cunningham on Happy Days when he would sing like Blueberry Hill when he was having a good day. I, at some point, really started getting into Van Morrison. And I went through all the kind of the classic Van Morrison stuff, you know, kind of his hits like the Moondance album, and then got into Astral Weeks and started getting into some of his stuff. You know, went through all the early Bang singles and a little bit of them. Then I started getting to a little deeper into Van Morrison and started listening to like his mid-period albums and then even some of his 80s stuff and kind of caught up with his whole catalog. But when I was reading and learning a little bit more about Van Morrison, I kept hearing all these references to like how influenced Van Morrison was by Fats Domino. Like Van Morrison's best songs are love letters to Fats Domino. Like somebody wrote that one time. Even to the point where on his 1970 album, his band and street choir, he's got a song called Domino that's on that record, you know?
Right, right.
Now, that song doesn't necessarily sound like Fats, but it's basically a tribute to what Fats Domino made him feel. You know, he also wrote a song once called Jackie Wilson Said, I'm in Heaven, right, When You Smile. So he used to write these like sort of tributes that didn't necessarily sound completely like them, but were real tributes to how those records made him feel. Mm-hmm. You know, and he did that a lot. And also on that album, on his band and streetcar album from 1970, there's a song called Call Me Up in Dreamland that does sound like Fats Domino. But to me, Jim, the real song that I always connected back to Fats Domino was on Van's 1972 album, St. Dominic's Preview. And if you're a Van Morrison fan, even if you're a casual one, you should probably know the St. Dominic's Preview album with its epic title track and Almost Independence Day and Listen to the Lion, like 11-minute songs that are incredible Van Morrison songs. But there's a short one on here called I Will Be There. I want you to listen to this a little bit, everyone, and just listen for the piano triplets and the way Van Morrison's singing in that laid-back style, and tell me it doesn't sound a lot like that.
Whenever the sunshine comes through, whenever my thoughts turn to you, whatever you want me to do, I will be there. Whether I crawled up a hill, challenged or been through the mill, just as long as I fit the bill, I will be there.
So you hear it there, right? Just in the singing, the way he kind of slurs those words and does a little New Orleans accent in there. It's really beautiful.
It sounds like Van Morrison could have been the band leader.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Like he's off to the side. Yeah. So yeah, I think a measure of tribute, not only the Beatles, Van Morrison, but as you said, Cheap Trick. I think Dr. John was massively influenced by Fats Domino. Randy Newman, probably too, depending on, you know, if you like him or not.
Yeah.
He still was super influenced by him.
I think you hear Fats Domino, Randy Newman, for sure.
Yeah. And I have a Bruce Springsteen bootleg cassette somewhere in my library, buried in my closet, where him and the band did Let the Four Winds Blow, which is a Fat Domino song, like in the encore. So I think it was pretty pervasive.
There was a tribute album recorded after Hurricane Katrina, double album.
Wow.
With artists, almost all were like new recordings. They weren't, you know, just a compilation of earlier recorded covers. Was to raise some money to help out Antoine Fats Domino because what happened in Katrina, he stayed in his house.
Unbelievable.
Right? And he was reported as being dead then.
Yeah,
and that
exactly.
was not true, obviously.
No, right down there in like the Third Ward or something.
Something.
You know? Yeah, and they had to get him out by helicopter.
So. Yeah. So there was a tribute album. Many, many artists, famous artists, put this together, covered his songs, and it raised some money to help him out with the, you know, flood relief. And one of those artists, I just heard this cover the other day, you know, funny enough, talking about, you know, passing of legends, was Tom Petty.
Wow.
Who did I'm Walking.
I'm walking, you and me, I'm talking. You
Wow.
And it sounds fantastic.
That's so cool.
It's really great. You know, the Heartbreakers could just play any of that stuff.
Yeah,
it
they
just
could.
Awesome.
Getting into the groove. Yeah.
So we said goodbye to Fats Domino. Rest
yeah,
in power.
Rest in power.
And I feel a little bit of remorse here for not really fully appreciating his work at while he was with us. But, you know, that happens a lot with, and at least as you said the other day when we were talking about a passing of artists, at least the music lives on.
Yes,
and you
we
can
have that.
Discover that mm-hmm. forever, right? Mm-hmm. All right, so we have a playout song. We'll get to that in a moment.
Yep.
First, let's just close this up. You are listening to Rock in the Suburbs. You should listen to it occasionally.
Every day.
Or every day. You can find the show on Apple Podcasts or Audioboom or other podcast platforms or at suburbspod.com.
Yes.
You can also tell us if you have any thoughts or memories about Fats Domino. I'd love it if somebody actually saw him perform.
Oh,
that would
be
really
great.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know.
Love to hear that.
I think he performed pretty late
mm-hmm.
on,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, into the 90s, I believe.
Is that right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be really cool. And you can do that by calling our phone number, the Suburban Party Line, 612-440-1984. Or you can email us, rock@suburbspod.com. Or you can find us on the social medias of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, @suburbspod. So there you go. And what are we going to play out with here, Patrick?
We're going to play out with a song, Jim, that kind of hears Fats talking about his philosophy of living, and I think it's appropriate.
That sounds great. The song is called I Lived My Life.
Uh-huh.
All right. This is Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you guys again tomorrow.
I live my life to please myself. I go to work, yes, every day, but when it's night, I love to play. If you love the life you live,
from the 50s to today.